You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha. Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Well, hello there, angels. Happy Tuesday. I am currently away right now, and by the time you're hearing this, I will be actually coming back tomorrow, I believe. But I did not forget about you guys, okay? I mean, I have to keep one thing consistent, right? So, I feel led today to talk about everything is happening for a reason. Every single thing in your life that is happening in your favor. It's all happening in your favor. And this is such an important topic for me because in my life, there have been, and in all of our lives, you know, there have been so many different situations I can imagine that we felt knocked down and we felt so hopeful, but things ended up turning out for the better. And I want this episode today to be a strong reminder and hopefully encourage you guys to not give up no matter what it is that you're going through. And so I kind of want this to be a personal episode in regards to just me talking about a bunch of different situations in my life and lessons that I have learned that have crafted this idea that everything happens for a reason or has validated my belief in the fact that every single thing is happening for a reason. So firstly, just a bit of background on myself. So before anything in life, before YouTube even existed, when I was younger, my mom always used to call me a superstar. And she always used to say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And also when I was younger, my mom used to walk around with a video camera, VHS, you know, for my 90s babies. And she always used to ask my brother and I, like, what's on your mind, Aisha? What's on your mind, Kavar? And so, because she was so curious about what was going on in our heads, and I'm so grateful for those things. And it's so nice to have those memories to look back on. And I think one thing that has always been for certain about me is growing up, I've always said, I want to be a superstar. I didn't want to be a lawyer. I didn't want to be a doctor. I didn't want to be a veterinarian, astronaut, none of those things. I knew that inevitably I wanted to do something that was in the entertainment industry. And so growing up, I used to be signed to an agency when I was, I believe I was 9 to 13, and I was never in school, really. It was nonstop, like go-sees and like auditions, essentially. I don't even think go-sees is the name. I think that's for like models or whatever, but it was a bunch of auditions, and I think I wasn't ready at the time. I knew it was still something that I wanted, but for some reason, I remember just driving home, I always used to think to myself, like, what if I blew up and I got famous? Like, it's something that I want, but I don't think I'm ready yet because I do want to experience just being like a kid and not having to leave school early or anything like that. And as wild as that is, it's like a weird dichotomy where you're like, okay, you said you wanted to be a superstar, but you at the same time are thinking, not yet or whatever. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking at the tender age of like 10 and like 11. I was literally thinking those things. And I remember the last thing before I got, before I like left my agent was they wanted me to go to Paris for something. And my parents go everywhere together, like literally everywhere. And my dad, he, for what he does for work, he has like a church in Brooklyn. Yes, fun fact, if you didn't know that. And so he, obviously he's not going to just up and leave to go to Paris because he has to like, you know, he has a church and he has to run his businesses, like, you know, things like that. And so because I wouldn't take that trip and it was very exhausting on my parents, and especially like around that time too, when I first moved from Brooklyn to Long Island, my dad also had a restaurant. So it was just, there were so many moving parts that were running parallel to one another at the same time. It was just, it was a lot. And so, and at the same time, I also genuinely did want to take a break. So I did. I did just that. I didn't realize that I would soon want it again. Like I knew, like when I turned 16, I was like, okay, I'm starting to really want this again. And, but at the same time, I was still enjoying school just as like living life, you know, I don't want to say regular, but you know, like just regular. And then, and I always used to tell my teachers like, okay, like, cause they used to have random pictures of students like on the wall, like in the hallway and things like that. And I told my teachers, you know, can I submit my picture to be put on the wall? Because one day, like, I'm going to be famous. Yes, I was that girl. I was that girl in school that was like, I'm going to be famous one day. And even though I am not famous currently right now, it's still something that, to be genuinely honest, is on my heart. And it's not something that comes from the place of like, necessarily, I don't even know how to articulate this. It's not necessarily a place of, like, I just want attention. It's not really that. It's, of course, to some degree, you do have to enjoy, you know, attention. I'm the type of person where, because, you know, they say narcissism is a scale. And there's, and on that scale, I would like to think I'm on the healthier side, meaning I don't go out seeking attention. However, if what I'm doing is, you know, something that I want recognition for and I do receive it, then I'm happy. It's not like, I'm not one of those individuals that feel like all publicity is good publicity. So I want to be in this, I want to be in that. No. And I also don't personally believe that. I don't believe all publicity is good publicity, but that's just me. And usually I'd say people that maybe, if I may, I'm not a doctor or a licensed therapist by any means, but I think to some degree, people that may fall on the scale of all publicity is, you know, good publicity, as long as they are even talked about, they feel good. I'm not that type of person. And I feel like that can get very unhealthy, because then you find yourself in everything and in situations that you shouldn't even necessarily be in, and potentially adding chaos to your life and things like that, just because you can't differentiate what is good versus what is bad. And, or unnecessary, I should say. So that's my take on that. But anyways, yes, I told them, I was like, yes, I want to be famous when I grow up, or whatever the case is. And I've always known that my first love, and I'm saying this for the first time because these thoughts started, you know, manifesting in my mind in March, where all of a sudden I had this strong pull on my heart again of like, oh my gosh, like mainstream entertainment is where I want to be. I love YouTube. I will always love YouTube. And I'm not even speaking in past tense, because even though I had, you know, I have been, you know, inconsistent, it's not a has-been thing for me. But I just want to be genuinely candid on here and let you guys know that are listening. And see, when you listen to my podcast, you get to know things that other people that don't listen don't, that I don't post on my, you know, Instagram or my channel. And I like the fact that all of my platforms represent a different side to myself. I find that to be very fulfilling. And so here is, of course, my favorite. I mean, we all know, it's no secret. I'm so, so consistent here. Like, I love it. And yeah, I've always known that it's something that I've wanted to do, is just, you know, I want to act. I want to be a TV personality. And that has been resurfacing in my head again, that fire and that passion. And for me, what YouTube is a vehicle to be able to do all of those things. And so for my end goal, or my 5-year plan, I would even say, is to be, you know, on TV. And, you know, I can't promise that I will be on YouTube, you know, for the next 10 years or for the next 5 years, to be genuinely honest. It is definitely, believe it or not, contrary to belief in my actions, still the number one most important thing to me, because YouTube gave me everything that I have now. YouTube gave me a job, like, sincerely. Like, I am able to actually do things for myself and be, you know, continue to be independent because of YouTube, because of the support that you guys have shown me, even in my absence. And you just can't forget where you came from, you know, and that's not something I ever will, you know, forget, when the time comes, if the time comes, of, you know, me transitioning into mainstream media. And the reason why I'm even bringing it up is because it's that important to me, and that every single thing happens for a reason. And to be honest, without going into great detail, because I'm not even sure I'm actually allowed, you know, recently in the past month, what I have been doing, to be genuinely honest, was there was an opportunity that had surfaced, you know, that was supposed to be on mainstream media for me. And it lit such a fire in me, I can't even explain it to you. It felt so perfect. It felt so aligned with what I, you know, want to do in terms of being on TV. Was the opportunity necessarily, you know, one that I've always wanted to be a part of specifically? Not necessarily, but I was just so happy to even get the opportunity. And again, it's a major, you know, TV network. So I was just so happy. Like, you have no idea how happy I was. And I was like making all these preparations and like thinking like, oh my gosh, like what's going to happen to my channel? Like, you know, things like that. And everything was going super well. And I made it literally super far. I had a meeting with the producers and everything. And then literally 2 days later, I got a call and I was told that I was cut and didn't make it from, you know, the casting. And oddly enough, I felt peaceful about it. Initially, like when I first got the call, my stomach sank, you know, and I was just feeling like, you know, oh my gosh, like what is this? Like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And I wanted to be sad, but for some reason I just couldn't. And if there's one thing that I know, it's that anytime things get crazy, because when it rains, it pours. Always. And that's both with the good and the bad. I noticed that anytime things are going amazing for me, it's like nonstop amazingness. And then, you know, equally, whenever things feel not the best, everything feels like it just sucks all at once. It's like one thing on top of another. I don't know. That's my personal experience. And so when this happened, I was just so, you know, I was shocked because I was so certain. I was so certain that this was going to happen. I was so certain that this is it. Like, this is going to be like the break for me. And I was like praying about it. I was fasting. And I just felt a peace. Like, anytime you know when things get crazy, there's a huge breakthrough around the corner. Anytime things start happening out of nowhere, no rhyme, no reason, not making sense, there is a breakthrough on the, you know, around the corner. And, you know, one of my subscribers that I now am in, you know, close communication with, and I speak to her all the time. I've been speaking to her for the past like year and a half now, and we communicate quite often. And she, you know, always gives me such uplifting and sends me uplifting and encouraging messages. Or if she feels like God is telling her something, she relays the message to me. And I feel so encouraged every time I speak to her. And, you know, when I told her about, you know, what happened, like, I felt such a peace at the same time, because I felt like, yeah, like, we were so certain, we felt like this was definitely going to happen. All my friends too, that were close to me, they, you know, knew of the opportunity. Not everyone knew specifically what it was for, because I am not really allowed to talk about it, even though it already happened. And I didn't, make the official casting for it. I just don't feel comfortable like saying out loud, because, you know, you never know with these, like, you know, media, you know, companies and things like that. I just wouldn't want to get in trouble for anything. And, yeah, like I told the people that I knew it was going to affect, because I was supposed to be gone for quite a significant amount of time. And so I was kind of preparing everyone, because this was happening so fast. The process was so fast. I wasn't exactly sure like what to do. I was trying to find my footing. And I remember before then, I booked a trip, and when I booked the trip, I had every intention to go. It's for Memorial Day. And then by the time this opportunity came around, I was thinking to myself, okay, I'm definitely not even going to be able to go, because I don't know when I'm going to have to leave and all these things. And it just so happened that they called me just in time for me to still keep my, my flight. Because at the time when I initially attempted to cancel, I was told that I wouldn't even be credited for, you know, trying to cancel the, you know, the flight. So I'm so glad everything ended up working out exactly the way that it should. And I just genuinely have a peace in my heart and in my mind that what's coming is always better than what's gone. There is no opportunity that is for you, for me, that will miss you. Even it doesn't matter how close you get. If it wasn't meant to be, it wasn't meant to be. And I remember also my subscriber, that's my friend that I always communicate with, she sent me this encouraging message basically talking about how we have to persevere even in disappointment, because this is what shows your character. How can you persevere in times where you thought like, this is it for me? This job opportunity is it for me. I was promised that I was going to get a raise. I spoke with my, you know, manager. He told me that this was definitely going to happen, and it didn't. What are you going to do? It's in times like this that our belief, our faith system, if you are someone that is of faith, you know, no matter what that faith is, it's times like this where our character is tested and our faith system, or value, I should say, value system is tested, where it's like, so what's going to happen? I could have easily turned around and been like, oh, like down in the dumps. And believe me, I wanted to. I had a very difficult night sleeping when I heard that news. Very difficult night. I actually didn't even realize how much it was affecting me until I went to bed. And I was like, I can't sleep. There must be way more on my mind than I actually think. And I, at the same time, I have this such, you know, this optimistic feeling, in the sense where I know where it is that I am supposed to go in my life. I know what it is that God has put on my heart for me. I know that no door that's open for me will miss me. Okay. And you can easily look at opportunities like this and, or situations in your life where you're like, this was almost it. And almost doesn't cut it. God doesn't want you in an almost situation. God doesn't want you in an almost, you know, a relationship. If it's for you, it's going to be for you. Okay, because a lot of opportunities, they are counterfeit opportunities. And I say that as a figure of speech, where it's like it comes dressed in everything you want with a bow on top. And then it turns out to be something else, or it actually ends up falling through. And I realized in that moment that, wow, I am really, really proud of myself, because I feel like my faith has just extended times 10, tenfold. I feel like my faith has extended, because I know when you know something is for you, or the lifestyle that you want is for you, it's going to happen. And at the end of the day, God's timing is always perfect. I want you guys to think about even the relationships that you've been in your life. Think about your first boyfriend, okay? Or even your first crush. You swore up and down you would never like or love anyone else again. And I'm sure you did. I'm sure you liked someone else again. If you've never been in love, I'm sure you have liked other people again. If you have been in love, maybe you have also loved again. You know, at the end of the day, there is nothing that is for you that will miss you, which means you don't have to steal opportunities from people. There's no reason to be jealous of anyone, because what's for you is for you. It doesn't matter that the guy you're with instead wants to go with someone else, because he wasn't for you. And I think it's so important, because when we look at life from this type of lens, I feel like we would actually be way more happier. And I would be lying if I said it's easy, because when something feels so perfect and it almost feels like it was dangled in your face, it's hard to just genuinely be okay with saying, okay, something better is coming. It really is. I'm shocked myself that I'm this okay. Like I'm not even gonna, and I say this in genuine honesty and justice for all. I cannot believe how okay I am. It's such a peace, honestly, that passes all understanding. And I'm genuinely okay, because I know that whenever God sees fit, the opportunity is going to be so tailored for me that I won't have to worry about it potentially, you know, falling through or anything. And guess what? The same goes for you. It doesn't matter what situation that you're in your life, things will be different. One of my favorite people in the universe is Oprah Winfrey. And it's so funny, because when we are going through things, we can either go the route of self-destruction, or we can go the route of self-healing. And it's a process. We've all gone both ways at some point, you know, in our life, or vacillated between both. And I think it's so crazy how I was looking at her podcast, and I was downloading a bunch of podcasts that night that I couldn't sleep. And I ended up listening to a podcast a couple days ago that Oprah posted, and it was called like The Climb. And she was talking about how many times in her life she had to basically fail upward. And I always tell you guys, like Will Smith said, you fail forward. And it's so true. There are going to be many, you know, counterfeit opportunities or false starts or things that you really genuinely were so certain of, and it just wasn't it. It just wasn't it. And I think that's the most confusing and heartbreaking thing, because you can either choose to give up and think that it's over. And when you start to think that it's over, then baby, it is. And Oprah said a quote that Pastor Joel Osteen said, and I'm trying to think if I can remember it. That podcast episode was so good that I wish it was transcribed, because it was such an amazing podcast episode. I love Oprah Winfrey. I don't even talk about it really like that. If you guys don't know, now you know. Like, that is like one of my number one, like one of the number one people that, like, she's top three for me that I admire, like, sincerely, wholeheartedly. Like, it is my dream to meet her. It is my dream for her to be in my life. It is my dream for her to be my mentor. I literally love Oprah Winfrey. And I find her to be so wise and inspiring and so compassionate and understanding. And I love the way she articulates things. Everything that she says resonates with me. And she also gave, like, samples of, you know, different interviews that she's done with different people and discussed different things that they've learned in their climb. And she interviewed one person, and I literally do not remember her name, but she said, Oprah asked her, what is the number one thing, the biggest lesson you feel like you've learned in your life? And the lady said, compassion, and compassion for not only others, but yourself. And I always talk about compassion and having compassion because it's a part of evolving as a human being. You need to have compassion for yourself and for others. If you don't have compassion for yourself, there's no way that you can have compassion for others, because charity starts at home. And it just goes hand in hand. People that are tough critics are not only tough on themselves, on others, they're tough on themselves too. People that say very, very nasty things in anger are people that are very, very, very hurt. It doesn't justify it in any capacity, but they're very hurt. We've all encountered someone at one point in our lives where when they get upset, they just say any and everything, whether it's true or not, because it's not about truth. It's about winning. It's about, let me say the most hurtful things, because they're trying to make you feel the hurt that they feel. So they want to say things that are going to trigger certain responses and reactions out of you. At least they hope, because they want you to feel what they're feeling. And at the end of the day, we all know, you know, being emotionally sound, the better approach, the person that's in the most control is the person that doesn't give that reaction, because it's not necessary. It goes back to what I said in my last podcast, well, where my therapist told me, when someone's telling the truth, you don't feel the need to over-explain it, because the truth is just that one thing. It's just that one thing. If someone is constantly accusing you of this and that and being this way and that, you don't feel the need to get defensive and overly defensive, because you know your truth. But people that want to go on and on and on and on and on, they don't want resolution. They just want to be heard, and they just want to bully people and essentially be an emotional terrorist, because they want to spill their misery out on others. And a lot of the times you may find yourself in this situation if you're not okay with understanding that everything is working in your favor. Everything is happening for a reason. I'm still trying to remember that quote that Joel Osteen said. He said, anything that follows after I am will be, I believe. So you know how even you make jokes and things like that, like, oh, I'm dead, or you'll be joking with your friends and be like, I hate you, or whatever. This is like just an example. I'm not saying this is actually, like, you know, reality or your situation. Like, you can do whatever you want with your life. But for example, you know, I can't even think. Example purposes. When you say things like that, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Or if you say, I'm broke all the time, you're always complaining about being broke and things like that, then whatever comes after I am will be. So it really forces you to pay attention to how you speak to yourself. And the reason why I actually find this to be true and powerful is because not only does it make you aware of the things you say, but it makes you more aware of the things that you say about others too. There's a difference between maybe even a healthy amount, you know, a healthy amount of gossip versus it's all you search for. You're problematic. You're chaotic. As soon as something doesn't go your way, you're just spewing out negativity. And I was talking to one of my best friends, Angie, and because I was able to take my flight, she was supposed to come down. We had all these plans and stuff, and I had to change because I was like, listen, I don't want to lose the money for this, because it's not like it's going to be credited to me. And I was telling her, like, just to tell her, I was like, listen, it's moments like this when you really know someone's your friend. And of course, like, we've been friends for literally like 15 years. So I was just having a discussion with her, and she was like, yeah, like, I can't imagine actually getting mad at you because it was a minor inconvenience to me. She moved like out of, you know, from the same city as me. And so it's like, she could have easily been like, oh, you're so annoying. Like, yes, it's a change of plans. It's last minute. But she understands logically, when you have logical friends, Aisha, one, I've known her literally forever. It's not in her character to just literally be like, oh, change my mind. Sorry, you know, with malicious intent. She knows that's not even in my character. So when your friends are logical and they truly know you, they're not going to all of a sudden craft these, you know, demonizing character traits about you in moments of, you know, a minor inconvenience or a change of plans last minute or anything like that. They're going to be understanding, because what we all need in life is not only flexible friends, but we also need logical friends. Because we all have experienced that one friend in life where we're just scared to say no to that person because we don't want them to think we're mad at them, or we don't want them to get mad at us. And that's not a real relationship. You're walking on eggshells with somebody that is supposed to be your friend. That does not make any sense. And true friendship, true relationships, essentially, platonic and romantic, require vulnerability. At this big age, if you are my age, 27, you should not be dancing around or beating around the bush when it comes to your friends. You should know how to speak to them if you want to get through to them. You should know that you can be vulnerable with them and not worry about them telling someone else, or worry about how you said something because they're going to take it in the wrong way. As soon as you find yourself being extra crafty unnecessarily, and you can't even just be candid and be heard and be understood by your friends, then I personally, for my life, wouldn't consider that individual a friend. Because when I speak to Angie, when I speak to, you know, my friend, you know, when I speak to Justine, when I speak to Rose, any of my friends, I never have to worry about, oh, like, I wonder if, like, she, like, thinks that I meant it, like, this way. I never have to be concerned about any of that. And that's an amazing feeling. And I wish that more people actually felt that, because it's so obvious when you encounter people that don't really have those healthy relationships, because you kind of become like a part of that chaos. Like, all of those like flaws, so to say, start resurfacing in you and that individual's relationship. And you're just like, wait, whoa. Like, for instance, if you have a friend where every time you guys are, are talking, there will be a couple days where you guys don't speak, right? And then you'll just see maybe that person like making subliminal messages about you, let's just say on like Facebook or something. And you always have to reach out to that individual and say, hey, like, is something going on? And then they want to finally tell you what's going on. And then they're literally unpacking a bunch of offenses that you feel so blindsided by, that is so unlike you. You're so confused. Like, wait a second. Like, where did this genuinely come from? Like, I'm scared. Like, you just literally created a version of me in your head and went along with it. Anytime you find yourself in a situation like that, it's very obvious that person has never experienced a healthy dynamic where they can communicate with their friends and tell their friends when they're upset and what's bothering them. And that is honestly what a mature dynamic is, telling someone when something bothers you and not being afraid that, well, I guess because we got into a disagreement, well, we're not friends anymore, because that's also not how life goes. I mean, let's be real. You're not leaving that guy that, like, you know, you're not leaving every guy every 5 seconds that says something offensive to you, or that you misunderstood something that he said, or maybe he even like cheated on you. You're still sticking around. So how is it that you're going to just dump your friendships out of nowhere and not be open to discussion? You wouldn't want that to happen in a romantic dynamic. So we have to still treat our friendships the same, because your girlfriends were here before the guy and they'll be here after some of those guys, you know? So I think that's definitely something to consider. And also understanding that everyone is in a different place in their life. Sometimes people need space, and then sometimes people need space indefinitely. Okay. It depends on every situation. Okay. And I just want you guys to know that no matter what it is that's going on in your life, I really want to encourage you guys that this is all a part of the climb. And I also want to encourage you guys to listen to Oprah's, her podcast. I think it's called Soul. It's called Soul. Is it Soul Food? I want to Google it right now, guys. Give me one second. Oprah Winfrey's podcast. It was so profound. Like, I literally could not. It's Super Soul. So it's a bunch of conversations that she's having, and they're just, yeah, her last one was called The Climb. It was divine, that episode. I wish it was transcribed. I'm not even kidding. Yeah, I just want to read briefly too. She said, "I always thought a mountain is a magnificent metaphor of life. From a distance, the ascent looks clear and smooth, but once you actually set out for the summit, you discover unexpected valleys and precarious ridges along the way. If your internal compass isn't set to keep climbing, every stumble will give you an excuse to turn back." Which means, like I said before, persevere even in disappointment. Keep going even when you're told no. Keep failing forward. Keep going. Don't give up. Be resilient. You can do this. You got this. And she also says, "Over the years, there have been many times where I find myself climbing up a steep, rocky road. And there have been setbacks which threaten to overwhelm me or stop me in my tracks." I know, Oprah, me too. "But I've learned to keep going and to tell myself, this too shall pass and I will be better for it." So she proceeds to say that in the podcast, she sits down with a bunch of spiritual teachers and thought leaders, and she lists them as well. And they are basically talking about how they made their way up, you know, from, their own mountains, and talk about what kept them going, no matter how steep the climb was. And I think we can all relate to this, no matter where we are in our life. And I think it's just such an amazing episode. And I really, really want you guys to listen to it, because when we look at these successful people, I'm someone I love looking at and listening to inspiring things, because it just really sets my soul on fire to know, like, there is no linear path to success where it's like, do A, B, and C, and you'll have, you know, D at the end. It's literally up and down and up and down and almost and not quite. And oh, this is it. And oh God, that didn't go as planned. Or wait, like, what do you mean this is falling through? I can't. And I know that this, you know, is relevant in my life. And so I want to be candid about it. And that's why I was discussing it. And I am discussing it with you all, because I want you guys to know that nobody is infallible. We're all human beings. And at the end of the day, all of the successful people that you see and that you look up to, it doesn't matter how many, you know, how much wealth they have accumulated or the success that they have accumulated. At the end of the day, you have to fail forward. If you look at the stories of all of these successful people, there it has been filled of ups and downs. There's no one's, you know, success story that it's like, oh yeah, once I made my first million, I literally made the best decisions, like, for my business ever since. Like, that's all it took. No. You live and you learn. You grow, you evolve, you progress, and you persevere, and you don't give up. Even in disappointment, this is going to show your character. This is where your faith gets put into the, you know, into testing. This is where it's going to build that resilience and that self-esteem. This is where it's going to come from. Okay. It's in the moments of adversity that builds our character. In moments of adversity, not when things are going great, obviously, because we're all the best version of ourselves when things are going great, right? But what do you do when they are not? That is where your character gets shown. And like Oprah said, if your internal compass isn't set to keep climbing, every stumble will give you an excuse to turn back. Think about it like this. You thought that one guy was it for you. What are you going to do? Declare that you'll never love again? Like, on a mathematical, statistical level, and I am no mathematician, that doesn't even logically make sense. Literally, that literally doesn't make any sense. So you have to think about things on a grand scale like that. Let me not pluralize and generalize this, you know, disappointment, no matter how great it is, because I'm going to overcome. Everything is happening in my favor. Everything is happening for the betterment of my soul, of my life. This is meant to teach me something. This is meant to build me up. This is meant to tell me to keep going. This is meant to tell me that you're getting closer, because one day that breakthrough is going to happen and you cannot give up. If you're on a weight loss journey and, you know, you eat, you know, a bunch of, you know, junk food and you overextended your cheat meal, you had a bad day. Are you going to, would it make logical sense to be like, you know what, screw this. Even though I lost, you know, 10 pounds, I might as well just gain it all back since I decided I want to eat bad for 2 days. It will feel like that in the moment. Trust and believe. You may even step on the scale and it may even say you gained 10 pounds in 2 days. That also mathematically makes no sense, because for a pound, to gain a pound, and this is like, this is just a known fact, I think you have to consume 3,500 calories in a day to gain a pound. Of course, I could be wrong, but think about that. And I'm not even a calorie counter, but it's just in the moment when we're going through things, it's difficult to differentiate what we know to be true versus our present circumstance. When you feel like, oh, I really feel like this is going to happen, but like, what if it doesn't? Versus like, I know this opportunity feels like something that's meant for me. And this is, I'm speaking from genuine experience. When I was going through this process, I felt so certain. I'm not even kidding. And a lot of people around me did too. And when we heard the news, we were all just like, wait, God could not be wrong. Like, there's no way that God is wrong. Like, there, anything can happen at any given moment. He could have stepped in at the last moment and said, yeah, you know what? I thought this was going to be it, but something just dropped and I have something better for you. And I believe that to be true. And I have faith and I still believe. And the other day I was crying because I was listening to my favorite, like my first favorite Christian singer that I've ever discovered was Kim Walker Smith. And then after her was Carrie Job. And her album that I first heard was called Still Believe, and that album gets me every time. And I just posted it on my Instagram the other day, and I love her song Still Believe. I love every song on there. I can't even honestly genuinely choose one, but the song that genuinely broke me down besides Spirit Breakout was Still Believe. And I love the words, and it says, I still believe that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I still believe that your blood is sufficient for me. And she's saying, like, I know that you can, you're still in the business of miracles. I know you can heal any, you know, disease. Like, sickness has no place. Weariness has no place. Depression has no place. And if you just have that faith in, you know, God and in Jesus, your circumstances can and will turn around. Can and will turn around. Whatever follows after I am will be. What are you? Does this make you want to think and be more aware of what do I say? Even mindlessly, we say things like that because it's a practice, because we're on autopilot where we're saying like, oh, I can't afford that. Like, why are you even showing me this? Like, no, you, instead of saying that, say, one day I know I'm going to be able to afford that. Yes, right now you presently may not be able to do exactly everything that you want, but why highlight that? Why not speak positively, you know, really start to reframe how you speak about yourself, and it will definitely impact how you speak about others. It always starts at home. And again, like I said over and over again, because I genuinely feel it in my soul to repeat to you guys that everything happens for a reason. It is all working in your favor. Don't give up. Be resilient. Persevere even in disappointment. Persevere even in sadness. Persevere even in pain. Persevere even when you don't even have the words. Put on a meditation. Have supernatural faith. One thing that we do have control of, genuinely, is what we do. With, put it like this. At night, when everyone comes home, let's say you're done with work, you may not like your job, you had a bad day, whatever. When you come home, you do have control over what you choose to do before you go to bed. If you're going to be on your phone, put on something peaceful. Actually try to still your mind, even if you don't want to. It's like going to work out and you don't want to do it, but just force yourself to go outside. And now we all can, because usually the weather is, at this point, the weather's getting better for everyone. Everything's opening up. Yay. Okay, it's been beautiful. The sun really helps to give us, you know, endorphins. Wear sunscreen, please. Also, by the way, wear sunscreen. Thank you. And so when you do that, it's like, I didn't want to do this. I don't necessarily have to go run and sprint, but I'm walking. I'm outside. All right. Do I want to listen to music? Maybe. Do I want to listen to a podcast? Yeah, like, let's try a podcast now. How about I put on 3 songs and listen to a podcast? Or how about I put on a meditation? And it doesn't have to be a 20-minute meditation. It could even be 5 minutes. 5-minute meditation to still my mind. Do little things like this make all the difference? Because you're going to have to reframe and reshape your mind in order to understand the value in failing forward. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself making an excuse to turn back and honestly falling, you know, victim to your circumstances. Well, nothing ever goes my way. Nothing ever happens the way that I want it to. So why even try anymore? But what if, because we don't know. We don't know God's timing in our lives. Right before you give up, the next day, the next second, the next hour, the next month, even the next year, it's still okay, could be your breakthrough. How would you feel if you knew in hindsight, which we never know because hindsight is 2020, if you gave up, if you knew a story about your life and they told you you're going to have a bunch of, you know, difficult circumstances, but I just want to let you know you gave up right before the major breakthrough was about to happen and you missed it. Wow. Okay. And it's at the end of the day, life wants to build your character and your resilience to make the world a better place. At least I believe this to be true. And so that's why I believe that we go through so many different tests and trials and tribulations, because that's what life is about. It's not always going to be easy. But what are you going to do? Get up in arms and give up at every turn? Then you will make no progress, literally at all. So I hope you angels have enjoyed this podcast episode. Thank you so much for listening. And I will speak to you guys in my next episode. Mwah.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.